Weekly World Economic Report on DriveTime.
And welcome to Weekly World Economic Report on our television screens. The Mr. Weekend special is still appearing before the Zondo Commission. I don't know what the sound is. Love to hear what's going on. But coming up in today's show, Reserve Bank and VBS shareholders agree on a possible new banking license. Where's that going? Russia develops its first COVID vaccine. Lebanon's economic crisis worsens amid massive resignations of the cabinet. Online, senior research fellow, human economy program at the University of Pretoria, Dr. Jason Misiorka, Twitter handle at Jason Misiorka. Dr. Misiorka, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Shafiq.
I see the Reserve Bank and VBS shareholders agreeing on a possible new banking license. I should imagine whether we like that or not depends upon these conditions, whether the poor VBS clients are going to get anything out of this deal.
So there has been some progress made. There was that such a discussion was necessary, especially because it was considered as a bank of the poor. But there are two major stakeholders here. The one is the municipalities, local government, and who had invested a lot of money there, and then, of course, individuals from poor communities, which is the second category of stakeholders. So it was necessary to have this conversation in the interest of ensuring that you don't allow more people to descend into poverty. And so that discussion was held. As we know, in 2018, there was, of course, a determination that the banks needed to go to liquidation, and all of that process, you know, was initiated by the former Minister of Finance and Kantra Nene. And what we have seen, though, now is that the Reserve Bank had a meeting last week with the shareholders, not the municipality shareholders per se, but the local communities with the chiefs and so on, and they determined that they perhaps need to look at issuing another license. But it's important here, I think the distinction here is that they are not saying that the bank is not going to be liquidated or it's not going to be closed. What they are saying is that it can be closed, but they can issue out another license to start up another bank that functions in this particular way. But of course, I would imagine they have your checks and balances in place. They were very categorical, though, that government might be giving some money towards paying back some of the shareholders in the, you know, in the largely your individuals from the poor communities. But the Reserve Bank, Lesetha Kanyago, was very clear that none of that money is to go to any local government. And so that's really where the discussion is at the moment.
And of course, in the meantime, the South African public is hoping that the VBS executives, who were the low-hanging fruit, do have their day in court and that justice is served, and that some more high-ranking South Africans who were fingered in the VBS scandal are also find their day in court.
It's interesting that this discussion, and we are talking about, we are already talking about the liquidation, and so that this is the evidence that somebody committed a major crime, and it's going to cost us even more. Firstly, it cost, it was really stealing of the whole bank's money, and over and above that, the government is going to be involved to compensate some of this money that was stolen to individuals. So surely somebody needs to be held to account, because that is a kind of a crime that anywhere else in the world would really be jaw-dropping. And we should have seen. So the point I'm making is that we can see the consequences of the crimes that were committed, but we are not seeing the individuals who were committing those crimes answering to those crimes. And I think that is a huge blow to just how and where the security is in the future if we don't, you know, people are not really held to account. That would mean somebody might come tomorrow and take your car or your house, and there is no legal recourse. So it also does question the speed in which we prosecute these issues, but also the legal system. How just and how fair is it? As I've said before, if you steal somebody's pen or cool drink, you might end up in jail for 6 months. But somebody here stole money from, we're talking about millions and millions of money, and nobody is being held to account. So that raises question on the fairness of the system itself.
And of course, a municipal official, I think, related to the bank, actually won a court case this week, today, in the sense that it was regarded as unconstitutional. That really can't leave a good taste in anybody's mouth.
That scandal on VBS, I think it's what I do suspect from my point of view is that there is still more that we do not know. There is a bit that we know, which is yes, we can argue that it was, you know, it was unconstitutional, and that was what the court says, of course. And then there is also the public issues here that we have to manage, which is there are several politicians who have been involved in this whole VBS scandal, and there is a good possibility again that the fact that we are not seeing cases going to court and prosecution happening is largely perhaps the perception is that you do have some politicians involved, and therefore they are well able to maintain themselves or to buy the system and somehow to extricate themselves from being prosecuted. So I think those are issues that we probably might keep in mind, but then that would be a very bad precedent as far as I said earlier, the justice system is concerned.
Then, of course, Russia claiming they've got the first COVID vaccine. This is economic as well, isn't it? Because the first person to come out with a successful vaccine stands to make a huge heap of cash.
So this is interesting. And, you know, with anything coming out of Russia, that one, this time is a little suspicious because it comes on the backdrop of news or allegations that even the COVID-19 figures are underreported. Russia has never been straightforward as far as coming forth with information is concerned. But that said, their president, Vladimir Putin, he did announce that they have found a vaccine and even indicated or suggested that his daughter took the vaccine and she felt much better. So, yes, this is going to be potentially a massive. In fact, he did say there are already 20 countries that are requesting for a rollout of the vaccine in their countries. People are desperate, that's for sure. And Russia has been reasonably innovative. They don't spend a lot of budget on research and development, but there are some quite innovative initiatives coming out of Russia. So this could be potentially true. But keep in mind also that Russia does like to play geopolitics. It could be just part of geopolitical game here, where they are wanting to silence everybody else. We do know that in Oxford they were doing the trials, and as a matter of fact, there are two professors who they have been at the forefront of developing the trials. They've become millionaires already. But this could be a case that Russia is trying to counter that so that they look like they are the ones to commercialize even before the vaccine trials have really gone through the full scientific process. So the point being made here is that this could be a geopolitical game that Russia is playing, but it's also a possibility that they actually have found the cure. Be that as it may, it has positive economic implications for them, not least because everybody is desperate. Whatever they can get to try and contain the virus, I think there's just that desperation going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to watch that space closely. I think the big issue of the day is the explosion in Lebanon. Lebanese experts are telling us it's irrelevant as to what caused the explosion. What's relevant are all the social and economic and corrupt political circumstances surrounding it. And it doesn't seem to be a very constructive scenario where the cabinet resigns, because now there's no government in a country that was already struggling with governance.
Indeed. I think it's a very sad situation. I do think that any life lost is one too many. And so with the last killing of 200 people, I think that's a significant blow, even before we look at the economic and social implications. But that said, Lebanon has been struggling with a whole range of socioeconomic issues, not least high level of unemployment, sitting at 25%, just below South Africa's. What's also interesting is that at least for the last year, their debt to GDP ratio, which is the amount of money that you owe compared to how much you produce as a country, it was sitting at about 125%. That was, at least the last year, in the course of last year and early 2020, it was the third highest debt to GDP ratio in the world. What that means is that everything you're making, it goes into paying debt, and it's not even enough. You have to look for more money to borrow to pay. You have to borrow from Peter to pay Paul, essentially. So that was that's the backdrop of it. And, of course, with the governance issues of corruption, ongoing mismanagement of the economy, very poor performance of the economy, very high levels of poverty, and then COVID-19 struck. The government has not been very effective in responding to COVID-19. And then there is a blast which, you know, hit the port, which is a major economic hub. So this was really the breaking point as far as the population is concerned. The population, the Lebanese, have been demonstrating, demanding that the government needs to go. And so I think it could not get worse. And this blast couldn't have come at a worse time when the ratings of the government were really low. So, yes, the government has had to resign, and I suppose they will have to reconstitute. But it's going to be a hard climb to try and rebuild the economy, because it has been on free fall for the last few years.
Absolutely. Dr. Jason Masioka, Senior Research Fellow, Human Economy Program at